I think one of the greatest challenges as a pastor is to have a memorial service for someone you've never had the opportunity to meet or get to know. The question becomes, what do you say about them? You can have a generic Jesus sermon, of course, but to have a funeral sermon is to actually touch upon the personality and the life of the person that has passed away. So what do you say? There's a little story I like to share about the three guys that were talking one day over coffee about what they want said at their funeral sermon. And the one says, I want him to say, as a great humanitarian, I cared about my community. The second one says, well, I want to say I was a great husband, a great father, an example for many other people to follow. The third one didn't say much of anything, and so finally they ask him, brother, what would you want him to say about you? He kind of grinned and said, look, he's moving. It goes without saying that we all want to live, right? I don't know how many of you take medication, but why do you do it? To feel better, to extend your life. You exercise, or at least you should exercise. Why? To extend your life. The reality is that there's things that you eat and things that you would really like to eat that you don't, and you do that because you like to extend your life here on earth. I just want you to know that as you mourn the death, although a year now has passed of Nancy, I want you to realize that today was never really a part of God's plan for her family to mourn her death. In fact, it's evident in God's word. 6 days of creation, every day God says, let there be, and it follows up when, and there was. Not once, and I double check, does it say, let there be pain, let there be suffering, let there be sorrow, and let there be death. I couldn't find it anywhere. In fact, I found the words when God had created all he had made. He looked at it and said, it is very good. And death was not a part of it at all. As creation came to the close, all was well in the garden that stood in the east of Eden. So about right now, you're thinking to yourself, okay, smarty pants pastor, if this wasn't God's plan, and we know in God's word that God can do all things, he's all powerful, he's all knowing, so why has God allowed this to take place in Nancy's life? You may be surprised if I was to tell you it's because of his love for her. You might argue because as you watch the fallout of what cancer does to the body and how it steals life, say, pastor, it didn't look like love at all. But as you read through scripture, there's only two people, the prophet Elijah and then Enoch, who didn't experience death. Not one of us gets out of the world in which we live alive. In fact, God's word says that the length of our days is 70 or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, and they quickly pass and we fly away. Now, I wasn't a math major, but I'm, as I kind of put numbers together, about 79 years. About 79 years was the life of Nancy. And those years quickly passed, and she flew away because of God's love for her. This past week I asked Patty if she would be willing to stop by the office to tell me something about her mom, because quite honestly, I wanted to say something about Nancy during the sermon, and I didn't know her. So she came in, and quite honestly, she wasn't all that helpful. I got about that much. I learned a couple things, that your mom was stubborn. She lived alone for over 30 years, and it was her way or the highway. Brian, does that sound about right? And also, her stubbornness extended to her sisters as well, because Mary was the taco maker, and apparently Nancy never made them, but she wanted to make sure Nancy knew she was doing it wrong. Stubborn, I think that would pass. But she also cared for animals, orphans especially. A woodpecker story, I wrote that down. And the squirrel who would eat crackers out of her mouth, I also got that one, which I thought was pretty amazing. But in reality, as Patty left the office, she was almost apologetic. So, you know, she said, pastor, can I just email you later on before I have some chance to think about it? And I was thinking about it. If it doesn't get any better than this, it probably is not going to help. But then a day or so later, I got a rather lengthy email, which was quite honestly beautiful and well written. And I wanted to read just this part of it. And I hope I don't embarrass you, Patty. She sewed all, capital letters, my clothes. Until I got to be a rebellious teenager, longed for a pair of real jeans. She made me a jacket once, blue denim with gold stars. I loved that jacket so much. I took it to college with me, even though it barely fit anymore. It was never the special prom dresses that made me, I probably didn't copy it all down right, stand out in my memory, but the ordinary things that she made special. Sewing and crafts were always some of her greatest passions. She could sew anything and worked as a seamstress for many years. Whenever I got stumped on my sewing, I would call her, and she always knew what to do. And many times, a week later, I'd receive a book or something for my sewing machine in the mail to make things easier. As I read that, it really struck me. Do you remember the very first thing Adam and Eve did after they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil they weren't supposed to? If you said they hid, you're wrong. The first thing they did is sought out a fig tree, got leaves, and began to sew them together to make loincloths to cover themselves. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, Nancy hasn't fallen very far from the tree, all pun intended, with her skill of sewing and her desire to make clothing. But have you ever stood back after you put on a new outfit and said, does this look all right? Does this clash? Does this make me look fat? These are questions we always impose upon our beloved family members to answer before we go out in public and reveal our new ensemble. There are always questions about clothing. See, whether we like it or not, clothing is an important part of our daily lives. You know, go out to South Point Mall or the one in the middle of town, Gateway Mall, there's going to be massive floor space reserved for places to sell clothing. Now, when you get home, you'll open your dresser drawer, your closet, and it'll be crammed full of clothes. Am I right? In fact, we have so many, we like to donate them to Goodwill so other people can get some good out of them. But with all that clothing, there arises a problem. Because whenever there's a subtle shift in the fashion of the day, there's an outfit we were once so proud of that we're ashamed to put on. In fact, it's not even good enough for the Goodwill. I don't want anyone to know that I once wore that. It's actually a problem when you stand before your closet or your dresser drawer and say, I have absolutely nothing to wear. When you look at a closet crammed full of clothes. But why? What is it about clothes anyway? You know, it's more than just protection against the elements. For Adam and Eve, it dealt more with covering themselves, veiling their sin. Yeah, we use our clothing for a lot of different reasons. And one of them is we like to accentuate the things that we like. See, I like to get the tighter sleeves on the arms so your muscles poke out a little bit more. But then again, we want to downplay those parts of our body that we're not so proud of. And so we get puffier, well, ladies' skirts or jeans or whatever it may be. But the reality is we don't like our image. And we want to do something about it. Which, of course, ultimately brings us to the big question. Why do we feel a necessity to improve and bolster our image? Is there something wrong with it? Well, as I said before, Adam and Eve were created in God's image. They were perfect in every way. But because of their sin, that image of God was lost. And they wanted to do everything they could so that others would not see it. Instead of material that Nancy would have used, they grabbed the leaves from the trees and began to sew it together so that God wouldn't see what they had done. You know, a new outfit will make you feel good for a while. It'll make you feel brand new. But sooner or later, you begin to grow out of it, like the denim jacket with stars. Sooner or later, it gets tattered and torn, and sooner or later, that what you were once proud of becomes just another rag in the pile. For Adam and Eve, they had the desire to cover their sinfulness. They wanted to address their brokenness before God. A verse I picked for today is from the prophet Isaiah. He says these words, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in the robe of righteousness." You know, after Adam and Eve went to the Fruit of the Loom store and sewed together their fig leaves to cover themselves, God also acted. In Scripture, you'll find the first shedding of blood is at the hand of God. He slaughtered animals to make coverings for Adam and Eve out of skin. He shed blood for them. You know, the reality is there's nothing that you and I can do that would cover our sins. There ain't a fabric you can get at Joann Fabrics or elsewhere that would be sufficient. There's not a style or anything that would make us look right before God. The reality is we stand before Him. All of those righteous acts that we bring forward are just as filthy rags before Him. And we need something far, far better. The wages of sin is death. That's why we're here. The reality is that in looking in the mirror of God's law, what's true for Nancy falling short of the glory of God is also true for all of us. There's times we can look at our sin and downplay it and say, you know, it's not that big a deal. Everybody else does it. The government says it's okay. But the reality, it's sin that always separates. As I was talking to the sisters yesterday, they told me about the Mackinac Bridge. I didn't say Chesapeake. The Mackinac Bridge. About Nancy always, she had a desire to go back there, although they had gone over it many times on vacation in younger years, but she had forgotten apparently. But I began to think, you know, before the Mackinac Bridge was placed, it was always ferry trips across. It would take a lot more time because it's like a 5-mile span of open water. See, the reality is that our sin literally separates us. There's no bridge to cross in a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He's the one that has to take the initiative with us. And He does. The prophet Isaiah says, "I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He hath clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness." It's something He does to you. See, for Nancy, it happened in her baptism. When that water was poured and those words were spoken, she who was once separated, clothed in the wrong garments entirely, Christ placed upon her His perfect robe of righteousness that covered all of her sins. And that's what changed everything about her. It literally made her a child of God. You know, there are times when you and I will stand back and look into the mirror of God's law and try to measure ourselves up to make sure our robes are fitting properly and they're covering all of the sinful parts. But the reality is, in faith in Christ, it's not necessary. He looks at you and doesn't see your sin. We stand before Him and say, "Dad, how do I look?" He looks at you and says, "You look perfect. Absolutely perfect." I came across the story of a sailor who was shipwrecked in a South Sea island. And the natives actually captured him and carried them on his shoulders all the way to the throne and called him their king. He learned later on that the custom of the people was that a man would become king and rule for exactly 1 year, and his kingship would be over. It was great for a while. It's like, man, I'm the king. They'd do anything I told them to do. It's awesome. Until he finally started to begin to wonder, what happens when the year's up? And he was told that when the king's reign ended, they had banished him to a lonely island to starve to death. So knowing that the year was quickly drawing to an end, the sailor began to give orders. He sent carpenters to make boats and farmers to go ahead to the island to plant crops and builders to erect a very nice home. And when his reign had finished, he was exiled, not to a barren, desolate island, but to a paradise of plenty. As I thought about that illustration, I began to think that's exactly what happens with Nancy. In St. John, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Her life on earth came to an end. But her reign with God's Son will never come to an end. On that last day when we are gathered up to be with her in heaven, the reunions are always the best. Quite honestly, she'll probably tell you, "You're not making your tacos right." She might talk to you about gardening, Patty, I'm not really sure. And Brian, I'm not sure what she's going to say, but in the end, you hear the words of God's Son, who says, well done, good and faithful servant. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.